Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, chaplain for the Republic of the United States of America. I want to welcome you onto our Monday night call, and I want to welcome you to Adar 2, a season of great joy. And unfortunately, you're going to have that joy of the Lord in the middle of war. You know, we as a people, sons and daughters of the Most High, you know that I do my best to give you a foundation in Hebrew so you would understand the fruits that you're expected. I always say it's Hebrew roots produce Christian fruits. And you know that every month I do 16 to 24 pages of the Hebrew and what God is saying to give us a foundation. You know, this is a leap year, but it's also a jubilee year, so we've got to double down. And there's things that are going to happen this month that are off the chart. And you're going to have an opportunity, if you haven't gotten a calendar, go to our website and download it. And I'll let John give a quick shot on any of you that don't have that infill. John, would you give them an update on going to that proper location? Oop, Mr. Rockwell stepped away. Or if he's talking, his mic is muted.
Nope, I'm here. I just was loading it up while you were talking. So
okay.
Let me go over here. It's republicfortheunitedstates.org. And it is not opening up there. It just opened up for me. And you go to the Divine Providence tab. Click on it. And then you scroll down below Wade's picture and you look for scriptures for healing of the nations, the calendar. You click on that and it'll open up an accordion. At the very top is this month's calendar, which is Adar 2024-5784. And it's at the very top of that. And you click on it, it's a PDF, and you can download it.
So I recommend everybody, I do send emails out, and my list is now over 100 people and starting to crash. I'm having to, because of the size of the calendar, I'm having to start to break it up in the numbers that I can send out to. But you can download it anytime. I do recommend it. You know, all of you know that it's meant to be a daily devotional. Some people read it like a book and just read through it, and that's okay. But the richness of it is repeating articles and prophetic word that we obtained the last 2 weeks of the month that is geared towards this coming month, whatever the month is, and it's powerful. And then we put it together, and you end up with what you see and read. So, you know, we're in a time and season where in this leap year, it's going to really shift because we have a solar eclipse coming up on the 8th of April, and I'll get into that later, but it will blow your socks off what the spiritual ramifications and oversight of that is. And then what this month, all the things that happened, you know, Christ began his ministry in this month, okay? The disciples were starting to be chosen in this month. And the Revelation 7 will take place in this month on a jubilee, on a leap year based on the timelines. The 144,000 will be taken. There's all kinds of things that come into play at this time. This month is the time of Purim and with Esther and all the work that she did and great women of the Bible. So as you go through and get an opportunity, you're going to see that we've added authors, there's new people. One of the big things that really excites me is James Nesbitt has now come on strong as a daily prayer warrior with his incredible art. And he's like the first, like third page in it this season is that starting out. And you'll see him throughout the calendar. But, and then we're going to go in and Matt is starting off. But what I want to talk about, when I said the great joy in the midst of an incredible war, is what's going on. There are so many things that are happening, and we're going to have to learn basically the art of war. Andrew Whalen came out with an outstanding article today, and he said he had a dream a week ago, June 5th.
Are you ready?
Grandbaby stepped in, and we're going to be. He was talking about the elements of what's getting ready to happen to the church, the exposure, how God is shaking everything. He's shaking the political, he's shaking the church. Church is going to always get it first, and there's much going on. And that we're going to learn how to stand and fight, because we're in a war of prophetic word that is coming out right and left, and you got to have discernment to even understand what God is saying, and also which word is correct. And he'll give you that. He'll tell you, this is right, this is not. Or I want you to read this author. So we give you the availability of going to people's websites, the names, and looking things up, and you can follow these different authors right on through. But the name of this time is called, the season is called a prophetic war. Chuck Pierce talks about it. Dutch Sheets talks about it. All the primary prophets are talking about it. And that we need to learn in this season, this month, how to realign with the art of war. That art of war is prayer. Just the other day, In a prayer situation, Matt, John, Sharon, myself, and some others, Steve, we were praying, and the Lord said something to us. He says, the destinies of nations is getting ready to be determined by how we pray and how we pray. Prayer. Not pray, but praise. So we have to really press in to a time of prayer, and the art of war is how we go forward in it. When I was very young, as a teenager, the Lord said he was going to make me a warrior. And I went, okay, I'm all for it. I want to get in the fight. Yes, Lord. I like to box. I like to be physical. And I figured, yeah, I'm going to get in there with the angels and mix things up. And he says, you battle on your face and on your knees. And I went, really? And he says, yeah. He says, that's where you're going to learn to fight. That's where you're going to see the victories won. And you're going to see them won in the courts of heaven. You're going to see them won through the steps that you take. By your prayer, your study, your praise. And he says, now is the time, and this is the season. Everything that I've told you in the past is coming to play. So when you look at the dreams and visions and word of what's coming out, and pay attention, please, everybody, take 15 minutes, download Dutch Sheets, give him 15 on your computer or on your phone, and pray that prayer with him every morning. He now has I think it was almost 33 million people praying with him every day from around the world on their given 15. It is powerful. It's great insight. It's what God's saying. And it just came out today. And we're talking about, dreams, visions, prophetic. It talked about the American dream. And he says, I'm going to literally make the American dream your dream again. I went, whoa. And this is, he quoted Genesis 12, 1 and 2. He said, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And the Lord said, I'm getting ready to do that again. And all those that have come, even for the wrong reasons, he's given them an opportunity to come into the United States and make this a great nation if they will turn their hearts to him. If not, there's going to be a separating. There's going to be a sending back. There's going to be a shaking like never seen before. And it's not what the Democrats are trying to do. It's what God is going to do. So get your eyes off of them, all the frustration, all the anxiety, and pray through. Praise through. As the Lord said in Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually on my mouth. And we don't have to pull aside to praise. We don't have to pull aside to do prayer. We can be driving down the road. We can be in between a presentation. It could be any circumstance and situation that the Lord says, take a minute. Take 15 seconds. Take 2 minutes. Praise me. Thank me. Bless, bless the word. So we're at a time where those things determine not just the destiny and fate of nations, but yours and mine. The Lord said specifically to me the other morning or the other day, he said, destinies are determined by your prayers and your journey. I'm like, wow. He says, so your journey is not always pretty, but it's how we handle the journey, how we turn unto him. So he said, you're coming into a season that you're going to have to follow, and you're going to have to let go. You're going to have to let go of things everything that you'd ever have to lose or step away from to step into the new, because he says you're going to need a new wineskin, you're in a new era, a new time. And now is the time, and this is that season. And he said, there's going to be people that will not understand, but you're going to have to listen and see what God is saying. A dear friend of the ministry that many of us know very well, Jim Gregory, who's been on a time or two, and we pray with Jim two or three times a week, talk to him probably more than that, and the Lord told him to disperse his church. Now, it wasn't a big church. It's only 38, 40 people, but powerful, prophetic, full gospel, Pentecostal church. He sent them all out this week and shut down his church. And he even went to another place, and he sent them out across the state and around the state and says, go be the light, the very thing the Lord's been telling us. Go be the light. Don't reflect my light. Be my light in the midst of this war, in the midst of this time that you're battling. So I want to encourage everybody, pay attention to what the Lord's saying. Be willing to take that step and be willing to go out and help rebuild the kingdom according to his purposes, his way, and his time and season. So I think you're going to be blessed tonight. And as we go into this time, Matt's got a powerful word. And every one of our authors, I always look forward to each and every one of them now, what they're bringing. And everybody couldn't get in articles for this month, but we got plenty, and it's powerful. And as we go forward, and as we understand this month, this season, this time of war, and the seasons of joy in the midst of war, and what God is doing, it will change your life if you will just surrender to what he wants you to do and pay attention. And you're going to see things happen beyond your wildest dreams and imagination. So, Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for this month of Adar 2. I know that everything has to line up. All the feasts and all the days are in Adar 2, not Adar 1. Adar 1 is a catch-up. In 19 years, it happened 7 different times, the cycle of leap years, falling in on certain dates and things, shifting the dates in the calendars. But at the same time, the feasts never change. On the Hebrew calendar, they're always. It's going to be the 14th of this month. It's going to be this. And because of the solar calendar versus the lunar calendar, the lunar calendar is what God uses. He's not changed that. And we get to participate and see and hear about the feast and what God's doing. And I think you're going to be absolutely blessed. So, Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for the time and those that are here. Let your glory be manifest. Give us eyes and ears to see and hear and know and understand. And be glorified this night in us, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen. I love the shofar. Lord, all of heaven has been notified to come to attention right now because of about what's happening. The word is coming. Matt is going to talk about Rosh Kodesh, about the month of Adar. He leads us into this month, and it's going to be a blessing to you. So, Matt, take what time you need. Let's go in and help us be prepared for that which is about to take place. Matt Friesen.
Thanks, Wade. Yep, it definitely is Adar 2, which is interesting because of leap year, and Adar 2 is sometimes referred to as Adar Bet, which is the house of Adar. Interesting that it's the 13th month. You know, Adar itself means majestic or wide. The verb means to be majestic or glorified, just as Wade said. And Lord had me look at a couple things in history, one being Moses, who passed away on the 7th of Adar. According to the Jewish Encyclopedia, of course, Moses had accomplished so much, but he was warned that he would not be permitted to lead Israel across the Jordan but would die on the eastern side of the mountain. So he assembled all the tribes and delivered a parting address, which is his big sermon, which forms the book of Deuteronomy. He talked about the law. He talked about all the important things. Then when he was finished, he pronounced a big blessing over all the people, and he went to the very top of the mountain. As he stood there, he looked over the country spread out before him and died at the age of 120. You know, that should inspire all of us who are getting a little bit older now, dealing with aches and pains, because Moses was still going strong. The Lord himself buried him on the top of that mountain. Moses, who was his chosen instrument for the creation of the Israeli nation. He brought the laws. He brought all these things to bear. He organized things. And it says he was meeker than any other man. In Numbers 3, it said, there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. I love that, face to face, the all-consuming fire. All that and all he did, and it still was said, he was meeker than any other man. There's something very key to that for all of us to really think about and ponder in our hearts as we start to take on more and more of his image. Elizabeth Cooper wrote this, the beauty of humility is it allows the bearer to stand in confidence in everything they are, while at the same time separating them from everything they are not. Humility causes those who love it to shine in brilliance. It breeds boldness and mercy, gentleness and strength, justice and loving kindness. Sounds like the fruits to me. Humility causes us to walk as those who know who we are, never second-guessing, never overstepping, always present in mind, heart, and body in the moments we were created to transform. Whew, that's a lot right there. Humility empowers us. It's the very nature of humility that causes us to rise in truth, to enter into the fullness of love, and really into the Lord. So when I think about Adar 2, the 13th month of the Hebrew calendar, and Moses, who stood before the burning bush on Mount Sinai, the pillar of fire, something interesting happened. It was a transition, just like Adar 2 was added in. His life led to the transition of Jacob, who led them to the promised land. It really speaks volumes to what we are entering into now as we get into the middle of the Gregorian calendar, which is March. You know, March is known as a transition month. It said it comes in like a lion and out like a lamb. It's when we get the cold, frigid, and then some days we get that nice, gentle, warm breeze that comes in. I think many of us reflect on these months going from winter to spring. So many people always want to be the lion, though. But first, we must approach the Lord as a lamb. It seems so pivotal right now, the spiritual transition. As Wade alluded to earlier, even the church is being shaken to its core. Because the Lord wants to align us all. He wants our heart to be humbled. And really, humility will be the key factor in how much he will bestow on each and every one of us. Ultimately, just like Moses, our hearts will be tested. But we must stand firm, as the rewards will be greater than anything else we face. Moses' life was really a testimony for us. Because as the kingdom advances, we too will come into those same moments, just like Moses, face to face. You know, he had the authority because of his relationship, and he used it as the Lord led. Most of us just remember that one time when he struck the rock twice. He wasn't following the perfect will of the Lord. His emotions took over. And I think it's probably safe to say each and every one of us have been there in our life. And yet, His grace, His mercy has always been there to pick us up. That's what the Lord really highlighted to me in all of this, is that place of humility, that place where we step in to get His perfect will. It's that place where we get revelation, visions, ascension, dreams, or just a quickening of the Spirit, but it all stems from His presence. I think one word describes this very well, which is behold. Even Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, when he heard the voice of the Lord, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And he said, "Behold, here I am, send me." You know, that word behold in English means to see or observe a thing, a person, something remarkable or impressive. When we see creation in a garden, sometimes we say it's a wonder to behold. Or we think about the Lord, behold your King. By this definition, it's a place where we just get revelation or knowledge beyond our normal sight. It's a place that takes us to somewhere new. Even Samuel, you know, when he was first being approached in Samuel 3, we all remember that. The Lord was calling him. And of course he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." And Eli didn't call him, but he told him to go lie back down. But Samuel did not know the Lord yet, because the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. You see, he was coming into that moment of revelation, that moment where he was learning to behold the Lord, where he would be commissioned into a great work. So the third time, the Lord called to Samuel. And I thought, how many times is the Lord had to give us something three times before he gets our attention? It's an amazing lesson right there. But he got up, and again he went to Eli. And that's when Eli realized it was the Lord calling him. And he told him to go lay back down and listen and learn to behold. He said, when he calls you, you hear the word of the Lord. You hear his voice. He said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." That moment was a transformation. That was a moment where we read, "Here I am," but really it was behold. And there's something greater here. The Hebrew word hinanai basically means to behold. It's something more than just a revelation or seeing something. And the Hebrews always break this down. Hinanah is basically a prayer. They say this during Rosh Hashanah. It's recited by a cantor prior to that. But it stands apart from all the other myriad of praises and supplication recited on the High Holy Days, because it is in the first person singular. The congregation seems to be spectators at this moment, but when he prays, he engages one-on-one dialogue with God. And what he asks for is something very interesting. This is humility. He asks for his or her prayers to be received favorably, despite any personal shortcomings. You see, that speaks to that place of humility. Entering in there unlocks the Lord to just pour into each one of us. Judaism teaches that each individual is responsible for his or own prayer. Unlike other traditions, we don't recognize others to pray for us. It's rather our own relationship. That moment, today, is basically to remind God that he too shares some responsibility. You see, when we enter into that place of quiet, introspective thought and humility, the Lord recognizes that as well. And those moments are life-changing. When we look at that word throughout Scripture in Hebrew, whenever we see it, there was a character in the Scriptures that underwent a moment of profound change or crisis. He pronounced the same word, Unai, here I am. When God called Abraham to sacrifice his son, Abraham answered, Unai. When the angel of God later rushed to stop Abraham, he said the same thing. As Moses stood before that burning bush and was called by name from within, he too responded the same way. Both these episodes merged and changed each of these men. And I think the same is going to happen to each one of us. We're all going deeper. We're all seeing things. We're all entering in deeper and deeper places. But we stand in a transition time. And nothing could prepare us. No words. Nothing could prepare you better than the Lord himself. You know, that word, he and I, is basically comprised of two words, here and I. But it means something much more. It means certainly or surely. It's much stronger than simply here. It's not about a geographical location. It's about a powerful declaration, one that can be made to God and one that God makes to us in that moment. It's really about him preparing us a readiness to serve, to fulfill what it is his desire and will is for each of us. You know, as Isaiah said, he was available, he was ready, he would do whatever needed to be done. That's our call. Our Heavenly Father longs for us to respond to him in that way. And when we draw near to him, his heart's desire and his intimate thoughts can be relayed to us. We think about Adam and Eve. That fellowship and closeness was there, but it was disrupted by eating of that tree. Adam knew it. That's why he hid. You see, the Lord called out to him, not to find him physically, because he knew where he was, but to re-engage with him after that disobedience. God was providing Adam an opportunity. He was inviting him to dialogue with his Creator and re-enter that intimate space. And that is more than just an encounter, a word, a prophecy, a vision. It's an intimate level engagement where the Lord brings a shift or transition. It's a moment when he draws those close to show them something that is about to happen. As I meditated on this, the Lord told me discernment is the key to knowing how to proceed after we have had these Unai moments. Far too often we think we must act or expect to see some immediate change, or we need to share the testimony immediately. But what we really need to do is take a step back and seek the Lord's will on it. You know, David Pendleton and I had a discussion about this last week. You know, there's so many moments out there. So many people are looking at this scripture right here, Mark 16, 17, and 18. When it talks about the signs will accompany believers. They will throw out demons in my name, will speak new tongues. They will shake the world, the foundations. They're all visible signs and outpouring of the Spirit. But in these moments, these quiet moments, they're not always the fruit of that. Many times he just wants to show us something new. And I have some scriptures that really speak to all this. Revelation 4:1 we use all the time. When John already was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, but the Lord called him into a higher place because he wanted to show him something. says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place. See, John's vision was to be a witness and a testimony. Maybe he was just drawing him into a place of deeper relationship. You know, in Revelation 3:20, the Lord says this, behold, him and I stand at the door and knock. If anyone should hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will dine or sup with him and he with me. Again, it's an invitation. This requires us to engage with him and answer that call. All we need to do is open our hearts. That's the door, and he will enter in. Sometimes these moments bring us in to take us to a new level of authority, which is exactly what Isaiah did in Isaiah 6, when the Lord said, whom shall I send? Of course, Isaiah knew. He laid everything down, and he said, send me. Isaiah, who just saw the Lord, his train filling the temple, he was undone. But he was strengthened enough by the Lord to stand up and say, Lord, send me. And these two verses I want to leave with you speak of his presence to accomplish much larger tasks. Deuteronomy 31, when Moses called for Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you will go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord himself, his and I, goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave or forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. You know, it's interesting, even before Joshua crossed over, who appeared to him but the Lord of hosts? But Joshua had to make that commitment first. And in 1 Chronicles, David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, do not be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, him and I will be there with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. You know, David had to lay it down. He was also a transition to his son Solomon, so that the house of the Lord could be brought to this earth. Even Paul was living out his mind. In Acts 20, he said, I only know that in town after town, the Holy Spirit warns me that chains and afflictions await me. But I consider my life of no value to me if only I may finish my course and complete the ministry I have received from the Lord Jesus, the ministry testifying to the good news of God's grace. You know, it all started in that road of the Damascus. But he never wavered throughout all of it because he knew where his source was. And finally, Yeshua himself, I love this. He and the Father are connected just as we are connected in them. As he prayed in John 17, he said, he looked towards heaven and prayed. He was connected. He was in that moment. He said, Father, the hour has come to glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, for you granted him authority over all the people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given me. You know, that word all is much more than we in the church have given him credit for sometimes. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know the one true God, Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I brought you glory on the earth by finishing the work you gave to me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. You know, I'm inspired by all this because I think of this group right here and how much each one of us has been strategically placed. We've been brought along for the very mission that he has for each one of us. And no one knows that except you and the Lord. We're in the midst of a major shift on a global scale. And just like all these scriptures and these men that I just read about, each one of us has such a key role to play. It's up to us to seek him and engage in our own eye and discern his will. So, Lord, we just thank you for your great mission. Even as before the call, Lord, we heard of some of our brothers and sisters right now that are going through trials, things that are happening to us, and things to our loved ones. And, Lord, we just pray for each one of those, just as Paul, we saw the witness, went through so many things to continually deliver the good news. Lord, we pray for the strength that only you can bring. We pray that our spirits will be so engaged with you as we transition into this month. Lord, you have marked this country with the Aleph Tav, which we'll hear in a little bit, because you desire for the hearts to repent, for the fathers and the sons and the daughters to turn their hearts once again back to you. Lord, you're shaking the very foundations of the religious walls, which will be removed, to once again, you become the focus. You're shaking the political systems, the corruption, and all those abominable things that have been done, Lord, even to the littlest ones, Lord, which breaks your heart. But Lord, we know that our focus should not be on the corruption, but on you and what it is you want us to do. Lord, we just pray in these days, coming into this transition, that our hearts would be aligned with you, and that we would seek you in new ways. You would open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears, and our spirits to receive everything. And Lord, like Isaiah, that our hearts would say, Lord, whatever it is, we are here and we want you to just use us as your chosen vessels. In all that, Lord, that you may be glorified, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that we may be joined together as one, so that you will be glorified. And we just lift all this before your precious, precious name and the throne and give it all to you. And we just say, yes, Lord, and amen.
Amen. Amen. Powerful. You know, it's so interesting what Matt was talking about and the significance of years and days. Moses was born in 1273 BC on Adar 7. Okay. He died, was taken up by the Lord on Adar 7, 1393. He died on what would be before the birth hour. He would walk into his 121st year. God took him. And the significance of numbers, of the Hebrew letters, I've not studied them the way I should. Matt and with Robin Main, they help teach this, and John has been going into it, and I've started to delve into it, and you're going to get a powerful word from John right now on how these days and the times and the seasons we're in are so important. It's beyond circumstances. It's beyond anything that we would normally even consider what God has got planned and what has already taken place. And also, this is in the calendar, you're going to see that on April the 6th, some of this intel that John is going to bring you will be brought up, and you're going to see maps, and you're going to see incredible work. But John, Spirit told John to bring it now, and it's going to bless you. So, John Rockwell.
Yes, and good evening, everybody. Glad that you're here. Got a part of what I'm going to be talking about. Looked at it yesterday, and I thought, oh, that's something that I think is going to fit, even though, like Wade said, in the calendar, it's more towards the end of the month. But just seemed like now would be a good time to talk about it and get at the end of the month as well, because how important it really is. So let me get a few words here, and then I'll go into what Wade and Matt have been talking about, the keys of restoration that's going to be happening in this month, which that's kind of why I'm talking about what I'm going to be talking about tonight. Discernment is a gift from heaven. Beloved, do not you believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether it is from God or not, and that's out of 1 John. And also, a golden key is to be able to unlock the mindset of heavenly abundance. And there's a fresh strength coming upon every weary saint, which I'm sure you might feel weary as well. And it's not rooted in striving or man's efforts. It's being birthed from a place of deep dependence upon him, Yeshua, and yielding to what he wants us to do on the earth and in his kingdom. And what caught my eye over the weekend is Robin Main had a word that she sent out via email yesterday, and the title of it was, "What Does the Olive Top Eclipse Mean?" I thought, that sounds pretty interesting to me. So I'm going to just give you a few little excerpts out of what she had written, and you can go to, I think, Sapphire Throne Ministries and get the rest of the word. But I just thought that this was definitely for our time. And no man or beast can manipulate an eclipse, which is what Wade and Matt talked about coming up on April 8th, that's going to cross the country. An eclipse speaks loud and clear to every tribe, tongue, and nation. There are biblical signs from God himself in Genesis 1:14. God declares the sun and the moon for signs. The only sign that they were given are altogether eclipses. More precisely, a solar eclipse communicates that judgment is coming upon a nation, whether it's a lunar eclipse, tells the judgment is coming upon Israel. To get a huge hint about what this means in ancient times, Olive Tav was a sign on the face of the United States of America by the finger of God. We turn the pages of history back to this country, the beginning of this country, in 1776. Mark Blitz shares that there have only been a total of 8 total solar eclipses that have completely crossed the United States, traveling from either horizontally or vertically since the foundation of this country. He reported that 2 occurrences during the Revolutionary War, 3 occurrences during the Civil War, and 2 occurrences during the Vietnam War, which I thought was interesting that they were during wars. 8 total eclipses in this country were witnessed so far was 2017, the Great American Eclipse. Only one of these 8 solar eclipses since 1776 solely crossed the United States, as one beholds on August 21st of 17. That was the previous eclipse that crossed the country from the northwest, where I am at, all the way to the southwest. This means the United States was singled out approximately 7 years ago. Number seven can be communicated as perfection or a plan of God or both. In about a month, we're going to witness the next total solar eclipse that will come across this country vertically at an angle from south to north on April 8th of this year, 2024, which happens to be Nisan 1, which I thought was really interesting. This year, establishment of Nisan 1 for God's calendar is the very first commandment that he gives the children of Israel in Egypt. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the first year for you." And that's out of Exodus 12. This was before God's people were given the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. We should note also that Nisan 1 is the only new year, Rosh Hashanah, that's mentioned in the Bible. And finally, let's deal with a few biblical happenings that coincide with Nisan 1 to further decode the Aleph Tav. Eclipse may be possible. This is Nisan 1 is the first day of the ninth plague of Egypt, 3 days of darkness, which I think is significant. Exodus 10:22 is where that's from. Another one, Nisan 1 marks the beginning of the month of our liberation from the world, i.e. Egypt, that's Israel. Another one, Nisan 1 is the inauguration of Moses' tabernacle approximately a year after the Exodus. Nisan 1 also marks the glory of God falling in Leviticus 9:23. It was the first time that divine presence rested upon the people. Also, fire descended from heaven into the altar for the first time. This means the holy fire was of divine origin when the fire came out before the Lord and instantly consumed the burnt offering and the fat of the altar, where the people saw it and their faces were in fear, holy reverential fear. That's Leviticus 9:24. What does Aleph Tav eclipse mean? Place these hints before the Lord and seek his face to understand his heart in this matter. Seek the Lord in his present strength. Seek his face evermore. He is the Lord God. His judgments are all on the earth. That's Psalms 105, verse 4 and 7. So hopefully these insights have blessed you in that regard. What is coming our way here in the next month or so? And I just find it exciting myself, but that's just me. So I'm going to play a piece. We're going to take communion. And then I'm going to play a song after that, and then I'll kick it back.
Hey, John, let me jump in for just a second, if I can. You'll find it in the calendar, and I take it from a different approach. This eclipse that's going to take place this time, the last one that cut across the United States, there have been three that's crossed the United States in our lifetime, but they've not been a total cross. Okay, the one that went from northwest down, it cut through Houston, and what happened was the great flooding of Harvey. And then the second one cut across and went down, and it was fires, northwest California and across different parts of the United States, and was fires. And then this one, they're predicting earthquakes based on geological surveys and things that are going on. But I want you to listen to this one thing. I'll turn it right back over to John. The path that this has taken, this is a judgment cry of the Lord, repent, okay? Because it crosses Jonah, Texas, then Nineveh, Texas, Memphis, Tennessee, and the Ark of Museum is in Williamstown, Kentucky, crosses there. Little Egypt, Missouri, Nineveh, Indiana, Nineveh, Ohio, Nineveh, Pennsylvania, Nineveh, New York, and Nineveh, Nova Scotia. Yeah, thank God is saying something. The very things that John is saying here. repent and prepare the way of the Lord for justice and judgment. And he says, it's at hand, and it was a sign for people to get their hearts right. So, John, I give it back to you.
All right. I'll go ahead and I think it's appropriate to do communion now just because of what we're kind of going in. And then after that, like I said, I'll play a song and then I'll give it back to Wade again. But I was looking for something, actually a song, didn't find a song about Olive Tav, but I found a short word that I thought, oh, this is exactly what we need to kind of focus our mind on what communion is about and who it's about. And so I'll play that and probably have a little bit of word, then play a song that Wade wanted me to play last week that I didn't play last week because another song came up, and that's kind of the backstory of that. So anyway, this is just entitled, just a short piece, Olive Tav.
There are two Hebrew letters that can be found together over 7,000 times throughout the Bible, yet could only be translated into the English language once. Amazingly, these two seemingly insignificant letters contain a revelation that is so powerful that our Lord Jesus Christ chose to keep its mystery as a secret that he would reveal about himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ declares in the book of Revelation, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, respectively. This is our A and Z in the English language. But in Hebrew, Jesus is saying, "I am the Aleph and the Tav," which means that he is the first and last letter as well as the beginning and the end of the Hebrew Aleph Bet. So, why would Jesus pick these two letters? Because through these letters, Jesus reveals that he is the whole of the Hebrew alphabet, as well as the intent of each and every word that is written in the scriptures, starting from the very first verse in Genesis 1:1. This is extraordinary in light of the fact that Jesus publicly stated that the entirety of the Bible is written about him, highlighting the fact that he is the very word of God, that he was made flesh and dwelt among us. This idea is emphasized in the opening verses of the Gospel of John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." John reveals that in the beginning was the eighth, Aleph Tav. Hidden details like this help us to understand why Jesus said, "Not a jot nor a tittle shall in no wise pass from the law." As fascinating as this might be, it is only the beginning of the revelations the Bible has waiting in store for us. The ancient Hebrew pictographs shine even more light on the Aleph Tav. The letter Aleph is the picture of an ox head, which symbolizes power and strength. The Hebrew letter Tav is depicted as cross sticks, which symbolize a mark or a cross. Combined together, in the most literal sense, Aleph and Tav depict powering towards the mark, as in aiming at a clearly defined goal, such as a bullseye. To miss the mark or to fall short of this goal is to sin. Unbeknownst to us, the Apostle Paul conveyed this very same idea in Philippians 3:14. "Thanks be to God, through the power of the cross, our Lord atoned for the sins of the entire world." In light of all of these revelations, if we combine the pictographs of the Aleph and Tav, squeeze our eyes together, and tilt our heads ever so slightly, we can see a humble sacrifice hanging on the cross as a sign not for just you and I, but for everyone in the world to see.
So you see how that kind of ties together with what I talked about. And of course, it all focuses back on Yeshua, which is exactly why we come together to remember him. His shed blood, which is the forgiveness of sins, and the broken body, which his body being broken makes us whole and gives us back the right relationship that we have with the Father, which is what Adam and Eve lost in the garden. And they could have had it back, but they chose not to. I think we have a better position being getting that right relationship back through Yeshua than they did directly. And I'm not going to go delve into why I think that, but I just think Yeshua is a much better way. And so let's remember him as he died on the cross and he rose from the dead and ascended. Remember his broken body and his shed blood. So go ahead and partake of the elements.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of hell. Let it rain. Let it. Sing out. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open up the gates of heaven. Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain. Open up the gates of heaven.
Come on.
Distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all people will see his glory. Oh, we want to see your glory, God. Oh, God, we want to see your glory. You want to see his glory? Lift your voices. Lift your hands. We want to see your glory, God. Oh, send down your power. Oh, God, send your glory. We want to see you move in our generations, oh, God. Power. We
that weight, I'll go ahead and yield back to you.
You know, John, it never ceases to amaze me, the anointing that are on certain things. That teaching that you and Matt brought, the songs, the frequencies of where we are and what God's doing. I truly believe that we're in a time of great repentance, a great time of judgment and justice being released. And it's going to shock the world, the things that are coming out. Now, a lot of intel is being suppressed by the news agencies, the government. They are, I just heard from some people that are recently retired that the new watch list is out. And it's the conservatives that are on the watch list. It's not the liberals. It's not the ones that have caused the problems. It's those that have stood and stood for the Lord. And so you can guess who's in charge of those watch lists, how we've got to be pressing in and getting our hearts prepared before the Lord with praise and thanksgiving and prayer. And frequency and the word are paramount in what we're doing and where we are. So I want to thank both of these gentlemen for the incredible job that they always do, and this was a very important time. Before I go into prayer, next week, Bruce and Linda, they've got a powerful word. And one person that was, it was John and I and others that was proofreading, looked at this and they saw the picture and they went, what's this got to do? And then they read it and went, oh my God, look at this. And the word and power that's coming forth, what Bruce and Linda are going to bring. So as we go into prayer every day, if you seek the Lord every day and you thank him, I highly recommend again, giving 15 with Dutch sheets. And look at James Nesbitt, James Nesbitt Prophetic Art, and you can go into his website and you can sign up for his daily prayers. And he's doing it through Passover. He did 100 days of prayer going into Passover. So it's a countdown. And what is being said each step of the way, it'll truly bless you. We're going to have some prayer. And what I'm going to ask, and we've got this done, we got about 25 minutes. I'm going to try to get most everybody in if we can, but yeah, keep it in mind, you know, if the Lord has got a word and or prayer for tonight, it could be about tonight or it could be something the Lord has shown you. It's fine to bring it. Just keep it in mind that I want to do the next guy and next girl also. So I'm going to start out with Mark Carroll. Mark, has God given you a word or a prayer that you wanted to lift up tonight?
Thank you, brother. God, we give thanks, Lord. For you are on the throne, God. You are mighty. We have been fed well tonight, God. Spoken mightily through your spirit. God, we want to be well equipped in warfare, your warfare, God. God, we want revelation, God. We want your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven, God. We want to be the light, God. And we give thanks for the light that you brought through your son, Jesus, and the brilliance, the love, the grace, the mercy that has been magnified through him, and you are magnifying through us, God. So yes, God, open up the floodgates of heaven. Let your spirit pour down on us and through us, and we know it is in us, your word says. And so, God, we want to move in power and might and be in alignment with your will, God, and proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ saves. And so, God, be with us. I just pray blessings over my brothers and sisters, God. And help us to love you and love each other, God. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Governor Carpenter, Jim, have you got a word or a prayer that you wanted to lift up tonight?
Thank you, Wade. Yes, as I dedicated my life to this walk, the Lord has used me in a lot of unusual ways. And one way is the people that he's put around me and that I've had privy to make their acquaintance. And as it turns out, on Sunday I met retired four-star general Ron Falconer, Joint Chiefs of Staff, been in there close to me at church. And he's been coming to our church now for about 4 months. Little town like Durango, Colorado. Who would ever guess? But, you know, we never know where we're going to get a chance to plant seed and seed a seed. And I thank you, Lord, for that opportunity. Father, we just want to come to you tonight. We thank you for this group to come together. It's written that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you're there also, and that we can do mighty things through you who strengthen us. And, Lord, we thank you for that opportunity to serve you and to experience those opportunities. Continue to protect us and give us victory over the enemy and shield us from the attacks of the enemy, whether it be physical or financial or to family or whatever, Lord, and strengthen our guard and deliver us the victory, for the victory is ours. I do believe it. And I believe it's kind of like Daniel and the prayer is being delivered. The check's in the mail. We need that. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to get that check and that we're going to be able to cash it and that we're going to be able to reflect you even more fully here on the face of this earth. And we thank you for all who have heard your call. Bless each and every one of us. In thy name we pray, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Robert Zuluaga. Robert, you got a word or a prayer that you want to lift up tonight?
Well, I had nothing until John played Let It Rain. and now I have a testimony from this week. So I was, I'm part of the Utilities and Water Board for the city, and I went out to La Junta, Colorado to go to a Arkansas River Basin Water Forum. And the story I want to tell you has to do with when God lets it rain. So the guy who's the head of the water board in connected to Denver for the state is a Japanese American. His father was a farmer here in Colorado during the Second World War and was interned in the Japanese camps during the Second World War. Long and the short of it, one of his neighbors, an American, took him under his wing, realized that if he was a landowner that he could be released faster, so the guy sold him 40 acres and said, pay me when you can. This guy is so diligent, within a year, he came up with the cash and paid the guy off. So long and the short of it is this farm has been, and now they have like, I don't know, 7,000 acres or some large amount of farming, and they have been responsible for the providing of vegetable crops to the state and around the country for years, for generations, in fact. So he tells a story, he says, onions are really important for our health. And he stated the number of onions. I think it's 20 pounds of onions per person we should eat a year. So he says onions are very critical when you sow the seeds for them. You only have days, so you might work, 24 hour overnight for many days to get your crop sown. He said, so they had $500,000 worth of crops ready for harvesting, and God let it rain. Actually, it hailed. It destroyed $500,000 worth of crops overnight. And he said that's the equivalent of providing food for 637,000 families. And I tell you that story because of, well, multiple things, but the main essence of it is the relationship between the land and God's provision to us is a very delicate balance. And as I watch Washington and I watch what Sleepy Joe presented to Congress and his whole state of the nation, his anger and his... Because it's just like the man's out in left field from what I see happening at the organic level with the people. So at the farms, and our reason for going is because the cities, we're drawing a lot of resources of water from our farmlands. And there's a trade-off. We think, oh, yeah, we just go buy water shares from a farmer. Well, if a farmer sells us his water shares and that allows us to develop our cities, now we don't have water for the farmland. Therefore, we don't have the water needed to produce the crops to feed the people. So there's such a delicate balance. And here in Colorado, we don't own the water that lands on our own property. Five other states have the right to the water that lands in Colorado. So I'm saying this to say there's such a delicate balance between God, his children, nature, the whole provision of what the cycle is of our food, our provision, our livelihood. And I watch what's going on in Washington. I watch what's going on with those who have sold their soul to Satan, who are in the helm of leadership right now. And I say, I am so excited to see that the salt of the earth remains the salt of the earth. And for whatever they're trying to do on a national level, on a global level, I just see God in Psalm 2 going, why do you struggle? Why do you leaders of the nation struggle? And he's sitting back in the heavens and he's laughing and he's saying, I haven't even begun to let you know what a loser you guys are. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you give me the experience of those who are your kids faithfully being stewards and guardians of what you've given us. And I thank you, Lord, that you are able to sort the wheat from the chaff. You are able to divide those who whose day is done, whose judgment is nigh, from those who you have set aside to be your people and are your people, and the promises that you offer and you promise us. So I give you praise and glory tonight, Lord. I thank you for the sensitivity of the preciousness of life that you have given me to see. And I just thank you, Lord, that as we wait in an expectancy in this hour, an expectancy that you are faithful and your children shall see the goodness of your harvest and will be shielded and protected from the wiles of the evil one. And we just give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Thank you, sir. Mark Binder, you got a word or prayer for tonight?
Yeah, I got a little bit of both, actually. If you're not listening to Julie Green or watching her on her Rumble channel, she's got a great teaching on words, how to use them and how not to use them. It's a four-part series. She started Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday last week. It's a great teaching. Now I got a prayer. Thank you. Yahweh, our Creator and Heavenly Father, thank you for watching over us as an eagle watches over her young and protects them from danger. Thank you for the many blessings that you give us, both seen and unseen, that allow us to take ground back from our adversaries. In the name of Yeshua, help us to unite together with one mind and one heart to save humanity along with our beloved Republic. So, Father, strengthen us in mind, body, and spirit to win the battles over dark powers and principalities in the spirit world with our gospel armor on and the piercing light of truth emanate from our spiritual sword, that is, the Word of God. And Father, commission your angels to encamp round about us to take care of all those spiritual attacks and physical attacks, and return to the enemy sevenfold what they had in mind for us. For you are God, and there is no other. So be with us, each and every one of us, to guide us and to help us to stay on the straight and narrow path of victory, not deviating to the right or the left. And Father, bring your glory and your presence into our lives, because wherever your glory and presence is, miraculous things happen. And give us spiritual understanding and quick reflexes as the attacks build to crescendo just before victory. As your word states in Revelation 22, verse 11, quote, "And when that time comes, all doing wrong will do it more and more. The vile will become more vile. Good men will be better. Those who are holy will continue in greater holiness." So, Father, cover our nation, our military, and our prophets with the dome of protection of Psalms 91 that makes it impenetrable by the enemy for ourselves, our family, and our friends. Give your appointed leaders wisdom and understanding, and by your grace and mercy, Father, God save the Republic, God save the children, God save America, Canada, and the House of Israel. Be praised and glory forever and ever. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Mark, I want to thank you for something. Mark turned me on to Julie Green Ministries about, I guess it was over a year ago. And unfortunately, I do so much in print. I read more than I listen. And I am blessed with being able to, you know, multitask and read and pay attention to other things at the same time. But I use the print media far more than I use recorded. And she does 99% of her work is video. So I don't get to listen to it every chance she comes out with something, but I try to listen to it as much as I can. And I also encourage everybody to listen to Julie Green Ministries. It will bless you. She is sharp. So, Mark, thank you. I'm not going to be able to get everybody in tonight, so, you know, next time around, you'll be up on the front side. Bruce and Linda, do you have a word or a prayer for tonight?
Well, let me share a couple of things. There was a song back in the 1960s by Melanie Kafka. Title was Beautiful People. And one of the things the Lord has been ministering to my heart is to seek His face, that we might become those beautiful people He would have us to be, that He might flow through us unhindered. That water, that rain could flow through us without being blocked up by every ugly thing in our spirit, man. That we are to seek His face. And even as Solomon did, he didn't seek the riches or anything else. He was seeking after God's own heart, that he might know how to judge the people and be a good leader and be a witness over the people and know how to rule over them. And we've had opportunity in the last couple of weeks dealing with car situations, and the Lord brought us to what would be considered not one of your better-looking garages, run by, actually, I guess it's owned by a black individual, which is fine, with several other individuals of the, you know, the same racial background and so on. And the world would look at that, and there's all sorts of cars all over the place, you know, that they're working on, all these vehicles and so on. But God took us to this particular place for His purpose. And so we've been working with them over the last couple of weeks, and God has given us such favor with these folks. And the world would look at them for the most part and saying, I don't think I could relate to you guys. You're not my type, whatever. But the Lord has given us such a heart, and these are absolutely beautiful people. And not only that, but the Lord has given us such favor with them. we were there about a week ago and trying to diagnose an issue, and the guy put his computer thing on the car and told us what the issue was, but it's not something that he could handle. And he said, well, you know, so he told us what to do about it and where to go. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't make any money off of you, but I'm sure blessed you came. And we had opportunity. We prayed for him. He was having stomach issues. And we were back there this morning for another similar situation. And he was not there. But one of the other workers was there and got to talking with him and sharing a little bit about the love of the Lord. And he was telling us that he has severe asthma. So Linda and I got to lay hands on him and pray and rebuke and just loose the anointing and healing power of God through him and into his life. And I just see the Lord desiring through his people, this is the type of thing we're to be seeking. We're to be seeking to be channels of his blessing. People will know we are his disciples by the love we share, regardless of whether we would consider them beautiful or ugly or whatever else. Jesus, Yeshua, died for them as well. And who are we to do anything but allow that glory, that rain to flow through us? So, Father, we thank you for touching our hearts. Lord, letting your rain fall upon us that it might flow through us to touch a hurting and dying, a sick world that needs your love. Father God, we thank you for touching those, Lord, that you desire to minister to, lifting their hearts, lifting their spirits, Lord, that they might see the light and the glory, Father God, that they themselves are not necessarily walking in, that they might have a hunger and a thirst for more of you. Father, we bless you today. We thank you for the opportunities you've placed before us on a daily basis. We thank you, Father God, you've redeemed us from the pit of hell and set our feet on the rock, Yeshua HaMashiach, that we might be that lighthouse, that source of rain and the life-giving water for the hurting and dying world. We thank you, Father, and we give you the glory and praise for it all. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen, amen.
All right, I got a request for you. And Steve Lustra's wife, Lane, is suffering from a, I don't know if it was a separated cornea or a, wait a minute, I can pull it up. But I want you to pray for them. Let me pull this up real quick. And let's see if I can find it.
Excuse me, Wade, if that was for me, I missed part of that.
I want you to pray for Steve Loopstra's wife, Lane.
Uh-huh.
Here it is. Let me pull it up.
Right. Okay.
In a car filled with smoke on her way home. Wait a minute, Wade. I got the specific.
Okay, this was about she to has,
yeah, but she has, this is a brand new car that they have, but she ended up with an infection of her pupil,
yeah.
And they were supposed to come back to the United States to take care of some things and kind of get refreshed.
Right.
And they can't travel because of her, this eye infection. So
okay.
It's Steve's wife, Lane. And then I want you to pray for David Pimmelton, his continued battle with diabetes. Okay. I want you to pray for them also. And then Sharon, I'm going to have you pray whatever you have, and you close this off this evening. So,
Father, we lift up Lane before you. I thank you, Father. She is your daughter. She's your child, Father God. You created her. You created her in perfection, Lord God, and you said you would continue and complete the perfect work in her life before the day of your son, Yeshua. I thank you, Father God, you are well able to take care of vehicles. We've seen that in our own life. I thank you, Father, you're well able to take care of financial situations, Lord. And, Father, you are well able to take care of healings as well. Well, Father, we set our hearts in agreement right now on this call. And you said if two or more shall agree as touching anything in this earth, it shall be done for them of the Father in heaven. So, Father God, we attack that eye situation in Lane's life right now in the mighty name and by the power of the blood and the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We command that sickness, that dis-ease, whatever the issue is, the infection in that eye, in her body, her entire system, Father God, diabetes, whatever might be happening, Lord, we command that to come into line with the Word of God and be healed right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. I thank you, Father, that that anointing is flowing right now from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We see the disease loosing her right now and going out. We see her blood sugar coming in line, Father God, in the mighty name of Yeshua. And I thank you for perfecting that which concerns her life, that she may be a blessing, that she may go forth in strength, authority, and power in divine health and divine life, that she might glorify you, Father, and be a great, great blessing to her blessed husband. We set our hearts in agreement. Thank you for the fullness of the victory in Yeshua's mighty name. Dave Pemberton, too. Father, we lift him up, and I thank you, Lord, that the diabetes issue has to come into line with the Word of God. I thank you, Father God, he spends time in your presence, and Father God, you are in his life. Father, you are moving mightily by your Spirit, and we thank you, Father. Again, you are perfecting every aspect of his life, of his being, of his ministry. And I thank you, Father God, as we speak strength to his body right now. We speak life to his body. Father God, I say he shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord in strength, in health, Father God, to bring forth your glory. Father, thank you for completing that perfect work. And in Elizabeth as well, her back situations, you know it all, Lord God, and we believe you're doing a perfect work. We set our hearts in agreement and thank you for the perfection in Yeshua's holy name.
Amen. Thank you so much. And again, Bruce and Linda are our primary speakers next week, so you'll be blessed. Matt, anything you want to share before I have Sharon close us?
No, I think we're good.
All right, John?
I think we're good.
All right, Sharon, would you pray and close us? And those of you, there's four of you that did not get to pray tonight. You will be the premier first ones I call on next week. So just be encouraged. You haven't been overlooked. We just ran out of time. Sharon?
Oh, welcome, everyone, to this amazing, wonderful time of gathering in the presence of the Lord, under his hem of his garment, under his wing. And I just felt to read this scripture in Matthew 6:25-34. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God, you just have a way of taking care of us. I just want to give a really quick shout out to Daddy God. Because yesterday our household here got a chance to pray for a young woman who was really hurting. And what the Lord showed us was that there had been some involvement in some Eastern practices. And it's interesting because he had me put water on her forehead. And in the spirit, I saw an eye pop open. And he said, that's the third eye. And he opened it, and he said, so put your hand over it and shut it. Because I didn't understand why I was supposed to put water on her forehead. But if we don't understand, we must just always be obedient. And so a lot of times people say, I don't have faith to believe. Well, just ask him to show you what to do, and then commit to doing it. Because if obedience is greater than sacrifice, and faith will arise. And we got to pray and set her free from that spirit. spirit that came in through that practice. And it was a beautiful thing. And I didn't understand. None of us understood what the Lord was doing. We were just being obedient. So, Father, the one thing he showed us was that we were, as we came together, gathering together in prayer for her, the Lord said to speak out that you are lowering her through the thatched roof before my feet, and I am going to take care of her. And so it's fun because she got home and she asked the Lord for confirmation, and she had had a soak in the tub, and she got out of the tub, and she said, you wouldn't believe it. I opened up the door and came out into the living room, and the song came on, Lord, tear off the roof and lower me down. Anything to get to you, Jesus. And it's like, he loves to confirm. So when we got to do this and set her free, the one thing he said was to that, tell that I, the only, that there's nothing to see here. And then I said those words and I put my kind of hand over where he showed me it open, just right between her two eyes, just a little bit above on her forehead. And he said, and the only eyes that are going to be on you are mine. And so I'm claiming that your eyes not only are on the sparrow, but your eyes are on us. Your eyes are on David Pemberton. Your eyes are on Lani. Your eyes are on the vehicle issues. Your eyes are on the health issues. Your eyes are on us, Lord. Your eyes are on this call. You are very much keeping us in the apple of your eye. So I just feel led to release that. And thank you, Father, for being able to be a part of this wonderful call. And I just bless Wade with more energy than he's ever felt even possible, that you energize him, Lord, as your eye is on him. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, so be it.
Amen. What a beautiful night. Wow. I want to thank everybody, and I look forward to every time we get together, and all week long, every day, start out with the word, start out with prayer, start out with what is being said, and give him thanks. He said to us, like I said last week, our prayers help determine the destiny not only of ourselves, but of nations. So be encouraged. Look up, our redemption draweth nigh. Celebrate this month. Press through the battles and let the Lord be glorified. And I say good night to all and many blessings.